Welcome to Strange Tales from Outer Space.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
It's new every single time, I swear.
Fourth time's a charm.
Yeah, that was okay. That was ridiculous.
Yep. Welcome everybody back to another week of Strange Tales from Outer Space. That super cool, extra awesome thing we're talking about was episode 11, and here we are.
Well, that announcement for the super awesome thing we have this time is an announcement we're going to make this time at the very end of the podcast.
We like to pre-hype the hype. That's what we like to do.
Yep, we're like a weird corporation that makes you take appointments to schedule appointments.
Or I'm going to show you a trailer for our trailer.
Yeah, oh God.
I hate those things so much. Weird. I don't need a 10-second trailer or a 2-minute trailer. Just give me the stupid trailer and let me enjoy it.
It's called a teaser. Stop it.
The trailer is the teaser.
No.
How infinitely small can the teaser get? Like, can you tease a teaser with a 5-second one and then tease that with like a 2.5-second one?
They already cut down a 2-hour movie to a 2-minute segment built to get you hype, right? And then from there to give you a 10-second segment, at that point, it's like Blue Balls. Give me a stupid teaser. Give me the stupid trailer so I can relieve myself of my excitement.
Wow. Yep. Over-sexualization. That was unneeded.
That last part wasn't I want the relief of getting that awesome trailer.
Like, okay, but the way you're saying it's totally wrong. You can't phrase it that way and not expect us to go there.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you.
But think about it. When Guardians of the Galaxy came out, you heard Ooga Chaka, Ooga Chaka. It was so fucking cool. Put that in 10 seconds, like Ooga Chaka. Whatever. Anyway, we give you the week that was and the week that will be in WildStar. As always, my name is Doc, and I have with me Indigo.
Hello.
And Krug.
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 Yes.
I like that. Hi. It's even written like that.
Yeah, it is written like that. That's why I said it that way.
It's true.
Don't you know all I do is read from this piece of paper? That's it.
Yeah, you are my little puppet. Dance, puppet, dance.
Whoa, you're going to regret that, buddy.
Actually, talk, puppet, talk. Tell me how your week was as I put my hand up your butt and make your mouth move.
One of those things is true. The listeners will have to guess which. So my week was pretty good, doing some Bet Dungeons. I've had silver in Storm Talon for a while. This week I got silver in Runes of Kil'vorth, which was really fun. Again, in just a random pug. I don't understand how you guys don't get awesome random pugs. I get awesome random pugs on a regular basis. So I don't remember what any of your names were, but props to all those people that were in the pug that got silver with me in Runes of Kil'vorth.
I get awesome high repair bills.
Yeah. Well, it's because you're a spellslinger, and spellslingers are UP? Underpowered? I don't know.
No.
Yes. You can go away. So I've been trying Skullcano for a while. Skullcano's really hard. I haven't had a pug yet that can get past the first pull. That chef guy. What's his name? I don't know. It's a huge pain. So I've been trying that for a while. I want to try it with the two of you because I don't think we've been on with enough time together to do a dungeon or a vet dungeon together.
We attempted last night, remember?
It had a lot of
That's
fun.
True.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Didn't get, but that was Sanctuary of the Sword Maiden, which one of the other of the two of you can talk about. And I think something that all of us are going to talk about is we lost 2 days of playtime due to a server transfer.
Yep.
So for those of you who don't know, and I'd find it impossible to believe that any of you don't know, the mega servers are coming, and to hold us over until mega servers drop, which we'll talk about in more detail in a bit, Carbine decided to allow people from lower population servers to transfer to higher population servers, and we took advantage of that. So the three of us are now on Purrgo. Indigo is going to pronounce that as Prego.
No,
don't let that confuse
it's Purrgo.
You.
I don't.
He thinks it's
sausage.
He thinks it's spaghetti sauce. We had a huge long argument about it.
No. Doc thinks it's spaghetti sauce. I think it's Prego. Like, hey, she's
Lego
Prego.
Yeah, that's spaghetti.
Like, she's
Prego.
Got a baby inside of her.
Which, right. Anyways, it's Purrgo. Whenever you hear either of them talk about the server we transfer to and they say Purrgo or Prago or Panini or like Ilium, like they're just going to say a whole bunch of really wrong things. It's Purrgo. So let that be a lesson. So I lost 2 days to that. It was kind of frustrating, but now I'm on a very awesome high population server. I mean, it's technically a medium population server. But there are a lot of people playing all the time. I get a lot of really awesome groups. But queue times are still kind of a pain, which is weird. I'd imagine that's because a lot of people are doing pre-mades or something, but I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, that was my week. It's good times.
Nice. Indigo, how was your week?
So this week I finished my Veteran Adventures, which I must thank the two of you very, very much.
You're not very welcome, sir.
And then as well, I lost my 2 days of transferring from Warbringer over to Prego. And then the other night we tried Sword Maiden, and we destroyed the first boss, but then the second boss we just kept dying over.
Wiping over.
And over and over and over and over and over and over.
I think at one point we were just yelling at each other, "Get away from me! Oh my god, I'm going to die!"
Yeah, there's for those of you who haven't done it in Veteran, I don't know if this is in regular Sword Maiden, there's a phase of the mini-boss we were on where if you go in like next to one of your allies, you both get knocked back from each other, and the entire outside of the area you're fighting in is just death. It's just big red telegraph of death, and if you touch it, you're pretty much at half health. And we just kept, like, so Indigo would be, like, swarming with adds because he was tanking, and I'd be like, he needs heals. So I run up to him, but I'm like, oh, there's a telegraph there, and I'd hit it, and we'd just both go flying and die. And it was, oh, that's the end, healer and tank are dead.
Crew,
it was just disgusting. And then DPS was all running into each other, and just, it was a mess.
Crew continually bounced me into the red death on a regular basis, and I'm screaming at everyone, like, I'm going to stay exactly where I am. All of you are the ones that need to get the hell away from me.
Our best attempt was when we all stopped moving.
Yeah,
we
were just froze. Like, no one move.
Red light.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. The my favorite part was when, and I don't think I told any of you about this when I did it because I was really embarrassed, but you probably noticed it happen. One of you was still in the red, like, outer area of death when it started, and so I was like, oh no, they're in a big telegraph. I need to extricate them, and so I extricated you. But by doing that, I knocked both of us back into the red zone, and I was just like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever done in any game ever, period. I shouldn't even have extricate on my bar for this. This is ridiculous.
That's probably one of the other DPS. I don't remember that happening to Indigo or I.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
I kept dying so often that I was just like, F this. I'm done.
So yeah, it was the three of us and two guys from another guild, and props to them because they were really nice.
Yeah, and they were very patient with us. Cause
I think they,
like,
were Ebonblade, I think was the guild name.
Yeah, we're probably butchering that. Sorry, but if you're listening, then we love you.
But yeah, they were. Oh wow, hey, hi dog. How's
wow,
it going?
He did not like that. You need to get your shit straight, going, man. Give credit where it's due, or he will bark more at you.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, and not only that, I'd been doing a bunch of PvP this week, was having a miserable time getting into Rated, but we kind of figured out what was going on with that, which we'll talk about later on, but that was my week.
Nice.
Good times, man.
Yeah, I personally had another busy week, but in this way, a lot more fun. I mean, we all moved to Pergo. I jumped on first. So I think my wait time was maybe 18 hours at most.
Yeah, you were, like, back on that night, it felt like.
Yeah, pretty much. I do everything really early in the morning because I apparently don't sleep, I guess. But first off, Pergo, you guys are awesome if you've been there before and just coming in. You guys are super accommodating. I know it's a few weeks before the Mega Servers show up, but you've taken this massive influx of refugees in stride. So if you're naturally or normally on Pergo, I tip my hat to you because you guys are awesome. Your economy
is great.
Haven't
seen a single person be like, oh, you, like, you know, immigrant or whatever, like being server racist.
We should close our digital borders.
We're going to build giant walls between us.
Honestly, on the internet, I could totally see that happening.
That's true.
And it didn't, and I'm happy.
So yeah, that was really cool. World PvP, though, I got really used to having a lot of easy fights on Warbringer because I didn't need a whole lot of gear. I had a full set of base PvP gear. So out in the world, if I get ganked, I turn around, 3-shot 1, I walk away, I keep doing my grinding. Not so much with Pergo. But there's a lot of people in GA. There's a lot of people with the ranked armor and weapons. I remember one, we did like a 3-on-5 of World PvP in Crimson Badlands. And I barely got their tank down to 3/4 life.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a whole new ballgame, and I am ready for this. So I was amped for that. But
yeah, the skill cap, since there are so many more people, like, there's so many more skilled people, and it's just every once in a while you run into someone who's like, I'm going to kill you. And you're like, nope, I killed you instead. But most of the time you run into large groups of people doing stuff together and you're by yourself and you're like,
remember when we tried to do dailies the other day and it was like 20 exiles in Badlands and we're like, what is happening right now? I need to get away from this.
The wrong bar. You walk into the wrong bar and everyone goes silent, just looks at you, and you're like, oh, I'm going to step out slowly and don't
kill
me.
Can I kill this spider? Nope, you're dead. Oh, okay.
So I'm having a lot of fun with the server switch. Yeah. And I'm kind of iffy on what's coming next, but we'll go into that. I wanted to give a shout out real fast to Painted, who's on Widow. Randomly, I was on my alt doing a random battleground, and about maybe 1 to 3 people were talking about Strange Tales in chat. So I waited a little bit, and then I was like, hey, that's me. That's my podcast. Hey, and they're like, who the fuck? What? No, you're not. Like, oh, yeah, I am. That's Doc, blah, blah, blah. And I think we spent most of the next 2 battlegrounds and afterwards talking back and forth. So
not playing the game, just sitting there being like, just totally like standing still, not casting anything, just talking.
Well,
because, you know, that's totally
bit,
what you do out in a battleground. Yeah, it's totally what you're a big jerk. You're a big selfish jerk is what
But it was
are.
Really cool. I've first time running into somebody in the world, so I just wanted to give Painted a shout out. So, hey, man. And real quick, before we get into the Strange Tales of the Week, I ended up signing up for Extra Life. And if you're those of you who don't know, Extra Life is a charity streaming group. They have charters all around the U.S. and I believe the world as well. And we have a mutual friend of the podcast who is doing it. And a few of his other friends are doing it. So they told me, hey, come on down to our free arcade night. We'll hang out. We'll get some drinks and we'll talk about it. And that night I ended up signing up. And I know they have a big stream on October 25th. And since I'm now waiting for my digital destiny to unlock, so I'm going to play the stupid game.
Wrong game,
I now have
this is the Wildstar podcast.
That's true. It's a Wildstar podcast. And I have no time to do a Destiny podcast. But October 25th, I'll be doing 24 hours of streaming for Wildstar and Destiny. So, and for charity. So if you guys want, I'll put up the show notes, in the show notes, links to that so you can donate. And you put it to a good cause. It helps out children's hospitals.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good on you, buddy.
Yeah, so that's what happened to me. That's this week. And now let's go on to the Strange Tales of the Week. And there is a buttload. We definitely had update notes this week. I kind of made the executive decision to say, we're going to put the links up, and there's some really cool stuff in there. There's a ton of fixes, but that's not the big issue of this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's useful information, and you should take a look at it. But there's, we could totally read through them and talk about them and stuff, but I think it would be a better use of our time for us to discuss the other less number-driven stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that came out this week, a lot of new stuff coming out, and the biggest of all, Mega Servers!
I have so many opinions and stuff about this. This is probably going to be the rest of the podcast.
So here are the hard facts. So the devs have been listening to us for the last, 2 months? The last month? About declining numbers in the extra runoff servers and some of the main servers. And they were really quiet about it, and they didn't want to be. And they said in their post, you know, hey, we didn't want to, but we kind of had to for this reason. And what we're going to do is we're going to roll all of our PvP servers into one server and all of our PvE servers into one server as well. That means everything. So from PvP side, which is what we're on, what we know, Pergo, Widow, Pago, Roused Hour, Warbringer, Bloodsworn, and I believe one other one are being rolled into one giant PvP server within the next few months. And the same thing with like Storm Talon, Avendra, and others. Now, this has kind of brought out pitchforks from some sides and some praise from others and some deep criticisms and some questions. So everyone's got something to say. But we'll go over the hard facts first and then we'll talk about our opinions on it. So like I said, you get one server of each for PvP, PvE for NA, and PvP and PvE for EU. Oceanic, I'm sorry, you guys don't get anything at the moment.
Yeah,
it's really hard to get Oceanic servers. So I'm glad you guys are sticking with us. But here's the hard facts. You're actually going to get more characters. You're going to have 12 characters max per server now. Here's the caveat. Yeah, is that the right word? Yeah. If you have more than 12 characters in general, you will still keep all of them, according to what they're saying right now. So if you have 40 characters on PvP servers and the mega server happens, you will still have all 40. You won't lose them. But you can no longer make a new character until you have less than 12. So you are forced to get rid of characters you don't use if you decide you want to reroll a new one.
Right. Like if they come out with a new class and you have 13 characters or 12 characters, you're going to have to delete one in order. Or you're going to have to delete up until you have 11 in order to make a new one.
Yeah. And we talked about Avenger real fast, and there is some contention there what we'll get into in opinions. But RP servers, German servers, and French servers, because we're all combining, you lose your home server, your dedicated RP server, your dedicated French server. You will actually get a dedicated chat channel to you. So you'll actually get an RP channel, a German channel, and a French channel, and so on and on and on. But you will be combined with all the other players.
Right.
Yeah, and if you're curious about your guilds, your teams, your circles, your mails, your auction house, and your cred, and your names, well, we'll get the names in a little bit, but all guilds, arena teams, circles, mail you have, auction items, the auction house, and cred will transfer. So long as you have an active member in your guild will transfer. You don't lose it. Now, some people may be wondering, what if two guilds have the same name? What if you have Epic on Stormtown and Epic on Avendra? Whoever has the oldest guild with the most the longest active guild member, guild leader, will keep the guild.
Which I think is kind of unfortunate.
It is, but...
Like, if you have a guild of, like, 700 people, and you've had this guild name for, like, 17 games, and it's been around for decades, and all of you are active, and it's just a beautiful, wonderful community, and then you have another guild with, like, six dudes, four of which aren't active, and they have had the guild name longer, they're going to get the name, and the other, like, established guild is going to be forced to change their name. And yeah. I think that's a little sad. And not that I'm saying that the other guild doesn't deserve it because they have less people. It's just unfortunate that so many people, like 700 people, are going to be disappointed versus two, you know? Yeah.
It's just the fairest way they can make it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult situation, but you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot changing with this, and a lot of people have opinions on it. I'm just running through them so we can give our own. If you have old Realm First achievements, you're going to keep those. So you don't lose the achievements you've made. If you were able to down and get through GA first on, say, Stormtalon, you will still keep that notification. You will still be known as the first people on Stormtalon to take down GA.
Right.
But because they're now a brand new server, if you like to be the world first, here's your chance to start racing for it. So it's pretty cool. And names, I'll let Crew take this one because I've been talking a lot.
Fair enough. So names are going to be on a first name, last name basis now. So you're going to be forced to put a space in your name and have two words. I think it's 30 characters total for your first last name. And that includes the space, so it's 29 actual characters. You're going to have to rename, or let me rephrase that. You're going to have the option to rename your entire character when you log into the Mega Server for the first time. So you'll definitely have to add a last name, but you can change your first name. So, for example, if your first name is Indigo Doc Jones, you don't have to make your name Indigo Jones McGee. You can change your name to Indigo Space Jones. That's just one example. So that's I think the best way they could have implemented that. I mean, it makes the most sense given. I guess they could have just had everyone rename, but then I think a lot of people would have lost their name of choice, and so they added this last name thing to at least give everyone the ability to keep the first name that they want, because chances are someone won't come up with the same first name last name combination. So that's interesting. As of right now, it looks like the surnames, which is the last name for those of you who don't know, will not be able to be hidden. Cougar said surnames will not be able to be hidden. We'll look into what we can do on the name change front for those of you with combo first names and or those of you who that just want a new name given the new environment. No promises, but we'll look into it for sure. So as of right now, they're not going to be able to be hidden. We'll see what happens going forward. Hopefully they do, because I kind of like just being Krug. I didn't see anything about the character limits for the first name and the last name taken separately. Like, I don't know if your last name can just be like one character. I think that would be...
It's got to be a minimum of three. I know before with your first name, it had to be at least three characters.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't become the case. I want to be like Krug G or something, or like Krug Z or something. I don't want a last name. I don't know. I'm one of those people that's just, I want to be Krug. I like Krug. Krug's my name.
I like Cher. Just like having the first name?
Yeah. Well, the artist formerly known as Krug. Oh,
there we go.
Oh, if that was less than 30 characters, I'd totally do that. That'd be awesome.
On the bright side, I could actually be legitimately Doc.
Yeah.
Freaking other Doc that hasn't played anymore and took my name.
D-O-C-K. Although you. Someone that listens to the podcast is going to steal it and then like sell it to you or something.
Not, I dare you. I will thank you for that name.
He doesn't mean PvP either. He's going to legitimately come beat you up. You. Although, let me tell you. Let me tell you, you could probably take him. Just saying.
Oh,
let me just say that.
So guys, what do you think about this? I mean, everyone's got opinions, and we'll bring up a few of them, but I want to hear what you guys think. Just in good, bad, whatever.
Well, before we get into our opinions, I just want to point out there is a really awesome forum post on the WildStar forums by a user named, and I'm going to butcher this, and I'm really sorry if you're listening, Kalish? Sure, I'm cool with Kalish. It's K-A-E-L-I-S-H. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. He's really awesomely taken all of the opinions and proposals from the community and the devs' replies to things and just summarized it in one post that you can just read through. It's a lot of good information. I was talking to him on via private message on the forums, and he told me that it's valid up until page 70, which is where he, I guess, ran out of energy and went to play WildStar.
Is Kalish a she?
I don't know. I'm just using...
I'm just curious. Masculine,
because I'm a male and I have no evidence that they're male or female, and that's just what I default to. If you think I'm sexist, then na-na-na-na-boo-boo. They. Should I use they? But that's plural.
Oh, no, I don't mind. It just looks feminine to me.
Sure. Well, okay, maybe.
I don't know.
But anyways, it's a great post with a lot of awesome information that I think you guys should take a look at. We're going to put it in the show notes. I don't know if I said that already. Take a read. It's great.
Yeah, it's labeled and color-coded. It makes, honestly, my head hurts after a while reading huge, massive blocks of white text because I can't differentiate. And the fact that Kalish said, here's what everyone's saying in a very easy and concise way to read. It's really nice, and it helps free up some of what you're thinking of, and you get to see what a majority of the communicative community is saying.
Right. And for what it's worth, they also have a add-on on Curse. It's called Kale's Housing Tour. It's a really interesting way of visiting public properties on WildStar, and now that basically everyone's on two servers, that will be really fun because you'll have a huge, like, selection of houses to choose from. So it's called Kale's Housing Tour. That's K-A-E-L apostrophe S Housing Tour. And their name on Curse is Kalish Always Sleepy. So yeah, have fun with that.
So now that we're here at the mega servers and they're supposedly happening within the next month and a half, 2 months, what do you guys think?
I don't know what there is to dislike about it. I mean, maybe that's just me and I'm just trying to be positive about everything, but I don't really see a negative side of this whole thing. Can one of you guys point a negative out for me?
I can see where everyone's negatives are. In fact, I spent a lot of today, the day of the podcast, talking about an article that came out. And I'm not going to link it at the moment. I might link it afterwards. But I was trying. People were kind of naysaying and they're doomsaying. Oh my God, servers merging, blah, 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 blah. It's the end times. And what they don't realize is moves like this are not a knee-jerk reaction. The mega server in a month and a half, 2 months, doesn't feel like a knee-jerk reaction. This feels like it was something already in the pipeline before server populations started declining, or it was probably even before that, because this is not something you can always easily and quickly do.
Sure. And I remember, I wish I remember where I heard this. It was an interview or one of their podcasts or something where somebody had asked, like, why they didn't go with the mega server technology, because I think they were taking a look at Guild Wars 2, which is a game that was released before WildStar and implements that technology. And I think the WildStar dev said, well, when we started development, that wasn't an option, and we had already decided when that became a viable course of action to, like, use the servers that we're already using, and so it would have been a lot of trouble for us to make a change or something like that. This is really old information, and I can't find the source, but I'm just going off of memory.
I think it was from a WildStar Weekly, where I think it was...
Well, before it was... I think it was before it was a WildStar Weekly. I think this was pre-launch, and I think it was... Yeah. I think it was videos that they were streaming and talking about the game and doing stuff like that.
Right.
I definitely remember this conversation, too.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was Cougar, but that may have just been me.
I thought it was Frost, but, I mean, it doesn't matter who it was. They said it. And that's kind of what makes me agree with you, because the fact that they've had that in their pocket, apparently, for so long, makes me think that their conscious decision way back before launch was, we're going to release with this server type, and then we're going to move to mega servers. And maybe, I'll admit, population made them do it sooner than they were planning, but I think that was their plan from the beginning.
Yeah,
I think
that was going to be one of their cards.
One of their new content draws would be we're going to have mega servers. We're going over to mega servers.
So what I hear is that the negative here is not necessarily in-game, but it is social social view of what is happening. So
I don't want to be clear. I don't think that's a negative at all.
Okay. No. What I'm saying is I think Doc was mentioning about naysayers and doomsayers saying that the reason why they're moving down is lack of population. And you said it yourself, maybe lack of population is what pushed it forward. And what I'm saying is that are we viewing that the negatives with the mega servers are due to social views of what they think is happening versus actual in-game negatives?
I know someone mentioned that it's called momentum goes both ways, and positives in the game go real quick into positive, negatives in the game go real quick to negative. And I honestly think a lot of these articles are starting to develop some kind of self-fulfilling prophecy with the game. Every time people talk ill of a game, not just WildStar, other people talk ill of it. And then it keeps going. And then they wonder, why did the game get destroyed and why did it end up in this state when it was so good? And, well, the people were saying that. And I honestly think a mega server is neither a positive nor a negative, but a natural evolution of the game. And I say this because I remember watching the WoW launch. I remember watching, where else was there? EverQuest launch. I remember watching SOTOR launches. All of those games came in with, God, almost 100 plus servers. WoW has a butt ton of servers, and SOTOR has a ton of servers at the beginning. So does EverQuest, still has a ton of servers. And what happens is they're overestimating the demand for the game for good reason. They know it's going to be big on launch. They want to make sure they have as little problems as possible, and there's always a problem. It's not a big deal. But what Carbine did was something the opposite. They came in with, what, 2 servers each for PvP and PvE? Mm-hmm. And as demand grew, they accommodated by adding overflow servers, Rousedower, Warbringer, Bloodsworn, and others. True. Now, this was with, they obviously knew once the honeymoon / vacation period is over for a portion of players, which are given in every game launch, they knew that something was going to happen with the servers. They're not dumb. These aren't knee-jerk reactions. These guys have been rigging the game for 5 years. They know they're going to see a surge at general points in a game's life, and they're going to see dips.
Right.
So I don't see server mergers as a bad thing or a good thing. I think of it as the actual evolution of the game. The mega server, I am okay with. I was much more okay with just the normal merges. Having multiple servers is never a bad thing. You kind of develop cultures for each server. But I'm not going to complain if everything goes into one. I'm not an avid RPer. All my characters have a backstory, and they all have things that they have. When I'm playing Doc, his motivations and the way that he talks, even in groups, I mean, like chatting, is going to be different from Calamity. It's going to be different from Frack. It's going to be different from Sombra and from Donata. So that's my extent of RP. And RPers are saying, you know, oh my God, we're totally boned, because they have been stigmatized for a long time. People will look at the very obviously light shown on the negative, and in this case, you know, erotic RPers and whatnot. And not all of them are taking it, but there's a good portion of them that have made it public. And it's that weird stigma, and they figure, well, our RP servers are safe haven. Now you're going to take that away from us and give us a channel, and instead? Some of them are really, really confused by that, and they're hurt by that. I don't think they have a lot to be complaining about, because the game is still really big. And you will have your own channel, and people have made add-ons to cater to the RP crowd. You can still keep your RP base and potentially even expand it, bringing people in to your groups and your circles and your storylines.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Couldn't this turn into, like, I mean, isn't that in itself a self-fulfilling prophecy? Like, we're saying, oh, all these people are talking negative, and so negative things are happening.
Yeah.
Now this server's happening, and they're saying, oh, we're just going to get made fun of, and all this bad stuff's going to happen. Couldn't this also completely have the opposite effect of someone accidentally bumping into the RP chat and being like, what's going on? Oh. I didn't realize that this was the thing. And having the option of having way more people. Of course you're going to have trolls, but you want to bet that there isn't trolls on Avendra now? I mean...
Well, I don't think it's about trolls or about people, like, giving them crap. I think it's mostly... And this is coming from somebody who's never RP'd, so take it with a grain of salt. I think the chances of you finding someone on an RP server that wants to RP with you is way higher than finding someone that wants to RP with you on a normal server unless you're actively looking for it. When we did a couple of streams where on Avendra where we were doing characters like permadeath characters. It was just a fun little game we did, and I ran into one person while I was leveling that tune, and they started RPing with me, and I was like, okay, I'll play. And so I, you know, had a conversation with them the way I thought I didn't put any thought into my character. I just kind of came up with a personality and went with it, because I wasn't expecting it, to be honest. And then, you know, we finished our little interaction and we parted ways. We actually saw each other again, which was funny. We were questing in the same zone and interacted again and then went our different ways. And every time I interacted with someone, it was an RP interaction. And it was, I never found a single person that wasn't looking for an RP interaction. And on the mega server, that's definitely not going to be the case. Not even close.
Well,
and I just think they're losing that, like, saturated player base that's not entirely RP. I'll admit there are people on Avendra who don't RP, but it's not even going to be close to what Avendra is.
That's very true. I honestly believe it's a good fresh start for them as well, where they can go, okay, cool, well, we can't help this, so if we really want to bolster our own self stories and whatnot, maybe it's a new leaf to bring in people to the fold. It sucks that they are losing their essentially their identity server, their home server, but this could be a good thing. Just like the reason why people are screaming, oh, I can't PvP, like, we went to Pergo, we're having a huge PvP essentially like resurgence in ourselves, like, fuck, I'm down for this. I'm trying to look on the positive, but the honest thing is, you know, there are sacrifices to be made. There's not enough demand and there's not enough player base to support a separate RP server from the mega server.
Yeah.
The only people I think that should legitimately be upset are three people. They are Oceanic players, because it's really hard already to play on an Oceanic server with this kind of game, and they still don't have any support, and it's super expensive and hard. Not a lot of games do it. Very few do. And they're always going to get shafted on the short end of the stick, and it's just the fact of the matter. The German players and French players, because language barrier is going to play a massive issue. Yeah, they're getting their own channel for it, but not everyone knows German, not everyone knows French, and vice versa. Not every German and French player knows English, or they don't want to speak English. And now they're going to be brought in with a larger crowd that they're going to get lost in for a while until they find their own. Until they get into the channel server and get their own raids back, they get their own guilds back, they get their own arena teams back. That's going to be really rough for them.
Yeah, I just think it's not to belittle their problem. I just think it's less of an issue than the RP thing, because really, if you're just a French player on a like mostly English-speaking server, you're still going to be able to play the game, and you're still going to be able to find friends in your chat channel and play with them and communicate with them perfectly fine. But the RP people are losing the gameplay mechanics, essentially, that made them attracted to the game. They're losing that saturated player base of RPers.
That's true. It's hard.
So my 10 cents for the 10 cents, my 2 cents for the RP community would be stay vocal about it. The whole reason that Carbine doesn't want to do or feels that they can't do an RP server is because there isn't enough demand for it. If you as the RP community show them that there's demand for it, they're probably gonna do it. So, and I don't know what the actual numbers are. I don't know how many vocal versus non-vocal RP players there are. Maybe if all of you spoke up, that would be the threshold, and they'd be like, oh, okay, let's put in an RP server. It's worth a shot. I've seen people's signatures on the forums with the hashtag Remember Avendra, which I thought was clever.
Yeah.
Apparently that's a hashtag on Twitter now. So, yeah, just keep being vocal about it. Don't be annoying jerks about it. But be vocal about it. Tell Carbine that that's what you want, and hopefully at some point they'll give it to you.
Yeah, just like everything else, if you're going to talk about something and try to get a change done, it's much easier to do it. And I personally think this is a little futile, but I will go with you guys on it to be calmly about it and to be concise and to be open to hearing them.
I'm totally with the RPers. I think they should have their own space. I think that's important for their entire gameplay. And I don't know.
I personally want to eventually run into RPers and have an RP character, but I'm kind of RP already. Dungeon Dragon, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, there's that. And like I said before, I know I was skipping a little bit, but Mega Server is not the end-all be-all. It's not the end of the game. It's not going to go free-to-play. It's not going to go buy-to-play in 3 to 6 months. That only happens if the money stops coming. And to be honest, it looks and is 10 times worse if people were dropping from Bloodsworn and Warbringer and Rousedower and Carbine did nothing to it. If they just let the servers wither up and die.
Absolutely.
And said, well, fuck it, we're still getting your money. That is a sign that this game has issues beyond just bugs. The fact that they went and say, oh, we're going to deal with this and we're going to make it better for the player base, that's a good thing.
Giving everyone a high population server or a server with a population that's respectable as opposed to like Rousedower, which was apparently a ghost town. I've never been there. It keeps more people in the game, and the thing they need in order to stay afloat is people in the game. So yeah, they can do this server merge and it looks like bad PR, but it doesn't matter because in the end, more people are going to stay than would have stayed if they hadn't merged the servers or hadn't gone to mega servers.
Yeah, and this mega server will bring players back in, knowing that there's going to be people in Ilium, people queuing for times, people looking for raiders. You're going to get people that have left going, maybe I should come back. And hell, maybe they might even try a free trial or temporary free trial to get people to come back in. Who knows?
I also saw an insurgence of comments on their Facebook and stuff like that of people going, all right, WildStar, I'm resubbing. You know what I mean? Like, I've been seeing a lot of that, and I've been seeing a lot of people sit there. And I mean, you always have people that are just going to talk poorly about it. But then I was actually reading some really, really interesting comments and conversation on their Facebook and forums and stuff like that, and people are talking about, well, you know, I think someone said, oh, I feel really bad for WildStar because, you know, when WoW came out, you know, there wasn't a ton of MMOs, and then
so they're much more lenient.
And then the person right below that was like, hold on, there was, and like labeled off like five MMOs. All of those were out at all at the same time, so that has nothing to do with it. And they're like,
a little bit, because when WoW came out, there was maybe 5 to 10 MMOs. WoWstar came out, we're talking tens, maybe even to the hundreds.
But it's still, I mean, the point that they're bringing out was that it has nothing to do with what other MMOs are doing out there. And the next question was, well, WoW looked way better. And they're like, well, no, WoW looked like shit when it first came out.
That's also subject to your own opinion, too.
Comparatively, WoW did not have a significantly better graphics than others.
Yeah, art style aside.
Art style is completely different than, like, graphic quality. So because WildStar has a very cartoony, very different art style, but graphically it's significantly higher up than what WoW was when WoW started.
Yeah. So World of Warcraft and WoWstar have what they call in several industries an evergreen style, meaning that they will always look dated slower than other games that try to come with a more contemporary or realistic style.
Oh, okay. Anyways, so they're saying, oh, it's graphics. And they're like, well,
you
no.
You sounded so uninterested in that. Yeah, they have giving us this insight into the industry that he participates in. And you're like, all right, cool. I'm going to go on with my talking now. Blah, 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 blah.
No, I totally get it, but continuing again.
So they're saying, no, it has nothing to do with graphics. And they kept going back and forth and back and forth and kept going for a while. And I was really reading into it. And it's funny because they kept bringing up points of, like, the situation that WildStar is going through. WoW went through it in its first stages. You know, the fact that their forums were flooded with people saying, oh, please reduce the quantity of servers. It's dead. It's a ghost town. They were saying all of these things, and WoW wasn't doing anything. You know, there was 4 years into the game, and there were still the same bugs that were having issues and, like, you know, weren't being fixed. And to me, like, the devs are listening, and I know that they keep announcing that and keep saying that, but I really do feel, like, listened to and, like, communicated with. I mean, there are some definite issues with the communication, especially on the support side, which we can talk about later.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. But actually, that person is right with the WoW servers. In fact, what, we're in 10 years of this game? There are still super low population servers. And all World of Warcraft has done has been mergers and cutting of servers. They did that on purpose. They overstacked the server list so they can pare it down. And if you're going by that same logic with WildStar and the mega servers, WoW has been screwed for the last 8 years and still hasn't gone anywhere because Wizard has still said, we are paying attention and we are making changes that make the game healthier. Whether or not you will agree with all our changes, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. We're not interested, and this is going to sound really, really rude, but it is true because they are a business. And I'm paraphrasing and I'm putting words in their mouth, but I kind of see it and I agree with it. We don't give a fuck about one person's or 10 people's or 100 people's little issues because we're not doing it for 1, 10, 100 people. We're doing it for the 100,000, 200,000, 1 million people still playing this game. And we not only want the money, but we want you people in general to still have a healthy, positive gaming experience.
Right.
Yeah, I believe the phrase is you don't weaken the strong by strengthening the weak. Wait, no, you can't strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. So you can't.
That was hilarious. Please don't cut out the part where you messed that up. I loved it.
Another adage is
you can't strengthen the strength weak by weakening the something.
I usually have way more whiskey, and I'm just out this week, so I'm just.
Another way to look at it is this: breaking a single stick is easy, breaking a bundle of sticks is hard. And if you bring everyone together, and you're able to rally them behind the quality or the servers or whatever else, that thing, that bundle of sticks, is now going to be much harder to break.
That was the most adorable platitude I've heard on this podcast yet,
and the least sexual too.
You had to fucking ruin it,
really,
didn't you?
It's really just unnecessary. Just totally. And even last podcast, you were like, "Oh, blow your load," and now you're like, "Bundle of sticks."
Grow up. You know exactly what I mean. I was trying to be nice and not whatever. Fuck it.
And dirty. Good job.
Anyway, yeah. So there's a lot of views to a server merger. And yes. You're right. I'm not going to downplay people that are saying that this could be bad things. This could be bad things. And server mergers are never the greatest because you're going to have upheaval with the community. It's going to take a while to get used to it. I'm not saying Carbine's doing the right thing. No. I'm just saying this is the natural evolution of a game. And it's going to happen no matter what. We need to learn with it, deal with it, and talk to each other and to Carbine with it. And it's the same thing with last names. People have been talking to them back and forth, and they're saying, you know, maybe we're going to try and see if we can give you an option to hide your last name or make it easier for you or rename yourself as well.
I'm just saying all of our characters are related. We should be cousins or something.
Either way, boohoo, deal with it, because certain names are coming.
You need to be Krug Jones. You need to be Doc Jones. And then,
oh, God, no. You're going to have to pick a new last name. I don't want to be Krug Jones.
Yes. Dr. Jones.
Do not want to be Krug Jones.
Dr. Jones.
You should be Indigo STOS. Our last name could be Stoss.
It's true.
We should say that. Yeah, never mind.
But now we're going off on topic on that. So
I want to throw one thing out there before we forget to say it. Uh-huh. If you paid for a server transfer 30 days before they enabled the free server transfers, you can contact WildStar support and get a refund.
Yep.
It may take you 6 hours, though.
It may take you 17 months.
It doesn't matter. You'll still get your money back. They are good about that.
Yeah. So that's information that is important.
Yeah.
Do we want to – I know it's not the next thing on the list. Do we want to skip ahead and talk about WildStar support while we're on the topic?
Yes, but real quick, if you guys have – the community, if you have any critiques, issues – or your own opinions, let us know when we put up the Reddit post. Let us know through Twitter. Let us know just in general. We like talking to you guys. And well, it's awesome that you guys talk back. And we like hearing
Krug
what you
does.
Guys talk.
I don't care. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow. So don't talk to Indigo. He'd probably just be mean to you anyways. He's kind of a dick in real life.
And then he'll gank you.
What was it last week? We're sitting there and we finished a two-man boss, and there was an exile standing there at like three quarters health, and I stealth and I walk up behind him and I look at Krug. I'm like, yeah, should we get him? And you're like, let's wait for him till full health. I'm like, okay. And then I wait for like 30 seconds. I'm like, nope, too long.
No.
Here's
you did
what
not
I think
wait
of
for
your
30 seconds.
Opinion.
You waited for 2 seconds. I was like, over vent, I said, at least let him get to full health.
And then, okay.
And then immediately after you say okay, you're like stunned. And just like, what
those
are you doing?
2 seconds in the world of Indigo lasted 30 seconds.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
no, they probably lasted 80 years. He just sat there and like scratched himself and burped and just couldn't deal with not having something to kill. So, you're a horrible person.
So going back to support, I want to personally say, Carbine, you are making money through this game. Hopefully in the future, within the next year or so, can you guys please start hiring legit, real people to handle support calls? It doesn't have to be a huge team, but having a dedicated person, you know, when you go dial in, pick your support thing, hit the number. Okay, hey, I'm here to help you. What can I do?
You know, I'm going to take that to a step further.
Yeah.
I want a support person dedicated to my account. Actually, I take that back. I want a support person dedicated to each and every one of my characters. And whenever I make a new character, they have to hire a new person to do support.
Now, in a realistic setting,
okay,
having real support staff on beyond the emails will help a ton, because issues like we're going to talk to do happen, and they're happening a little frequently for our personal tastes.
That's super expensive, and I don't think they necessarily have to do that.
You don't have to do it now, but
no.
Full support team.
It's ludicrously expensive, dude.
Oh yeah, no.
They don't necessarily have to do that. Just improve it somehow. Make it better.
They have openings. Maybe we can get jobs there.
As a support tech on the phone, I don't think that's a job you want, my friend.
You have to deal with people like...
Yeah, you're just catching shit all day. You're on the phone
wait.
Like that. You broke everything in my account. Okay, sir. And then if you get mad back, you're just insta-fired. You don't want that job.
I don't know. There's a hardcore mentality. You might snap, and then Frost will look at you and go, you know what? He deserved it. Fuck him.
Anyway. Hardcore to the last drop.
Exactly. So something happened.
The reason we're talking about support is a buddy of ours, Nygma, as we've mentioned quite a few times. He got Destiny. Destiny is a new MMO that's coming out on the console.
And not out yet.
Well,
deep breaths, man.
Digitally.
Nygma was planning on Friday. He goes, okay, I'm going to come home Friday night. I'm going to play Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, and I'm going to get to 50. He's like, whatever I'm going to do, I'm just going to sit there and play until I get to 50. And so that when Destiny comes out on Tuesday, I will play Destiny with all my friends. He's East Coast. We're West Coast. And he goes, I'm going to play with all my friends until they go to bed, and then I'm going to hop on WildStar and play with you guys on WildStar, and so we can hang out and still play. But I'll have my dailies and just small stuff that I can work on. I don't have to worry about leveling. That's what he said Friday morning. Well, Friday night, he gets on, and he tries to log on, and it says that his information's not correct. He goes, oh, that's weird. So he goes in there, and he goes to the support, and they say, go to support. He goes to support. Well, it's an email service, which means you're not getting instantaneous responses. So he sends an email, and he doesn't get a response until an hour and a half later, saying, oh, we're working on it. Let me, you know, just give us a moment. A little while longer, he gets a response. All right, sir, it's an accounting issue, or we think it's an accounting issue. Give me your last four numbers of your credit card, and we'll solve it. Great.
And your social security number and the 3-digit PIN on the back of your card, and we'll be good.
And so he sends it to them, and then doesn't get a response. Goes to bed next day.
Yeah.
Next day, responds, saying, hey, what's going on? And they're like, we're trying to figure it out. We'll get someone to you as soon as possible. And so later on during the day, he's waiting, and he goes, all right, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to try to log on and see what happens. Well, when he tries to log on, this time it doesn't just say your information's wrong. It flat out says that there's no account attached, no account at all with that name.
Yeah.
So now he's super pissed and just...
Well, super pissed and super worried.
Like, yeah,
that's money gone.
Yeah,
he's invested in the game.
Yeah, he's worried that, you know, buying the game, the 2 months or 3 months of subscription, and now his character's been deleted. Like, his account's gone. And he literally had done nothing. He's got the two-step authentication. So, theoretically, there should be no sort of issue. The only thing that had happened is he did the server transfer. He did the server transfer from Warbringer over to Pergo with us.
You said it correctly.
I got
shivers.
Yeah, he nothing else has changed. I have not heard from him since, and he has not been logged on. So I assume he just rage quitted life and just started like throwing things. But yeah,
there have been a few people too that had issues like this, and the most people can do is just send in tickets and hope for the best.
And yeah, and that's a huge issue, because I mean, I remember having an issue with WoW when I was playing WoW for a while, and mind you, when I did have an issue, they had a complete system and they had been up and running and working on it and building on it for a really, really long time. But I went in there and it was like, hey, I haven't logged on in a really long time. Looks like my account got hacked. All of my gear's gone. It's been sold. What can you do? And they're like, oh, hold on. And then like an hour later, they're like, okay, you're good. And all of my stuff was back. My character was good. Like nothing, like everything was perfect. Like nothing had happened. And they're like, oh, it's all in your mail. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like it took very, very little time to deal with all of that. So, I mean, I just feel really bad.
Yeah.
And I want to make this clear. I'm pretty sure the support, because I think we said Carbine at one point when we were talking about support. Actually, I'm pretty sure we said it a few times. I'm 90% sure the support's NCSoft. Is that not true?
Actually, you might be right. We might be placing the blame somewhere else unnecessarily. Yeah. Either way, so, whoever's
doing support, please fix.
Yeah, please give some budget to support for WildStar.
Fix, please. Yeah. Fix, please.
You got support for their other games. Give it to us, too, because this is something that does impact subscriptions.
Yeah, I would assume.
And not just Enigma, but like other people as well, people that are trying to get stuff done and having issues with their account.
And honestly,
emails can only go so far.
I just want my funny Enigma back. Enigma's a funny dude.
I want Enigma to make fun of Krug more. I want Enigma back. Enigma, maybe please come back.
Enigma, please come back. I actually, now that I think about how much he makes fun of me, he can go fuck himself. I'm just kidding.
Somewhere in the podcast sphere, Enigma's holding up two middle fingers and saying,
while he's driving to work, he's just like, fuck that guy.
All right. Good times.
Servers and support, man. They're two great things in that the game. But not just that happened, other stuff too. And the first and foremost, someone's been leaking and data mining all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah. And,
was it PAX Prime just happened? No.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. It's too many cons going on. Great. Right? Awesome. I love it. But still, can't remember if it's Gamescom or PAX or Dragon Con. Anyway, someone has said, we're getting a solo dungeon. And this was supposed to happen at launch and it didn't for whatever reason. And now it's happening with the possible next drop. And it looks freaking cool.
I don't understand the solo dungeon thing. I don't understand why you'd want a solo dungeon.
All it really is the story progression. The same thing you did with the Drusera stuff at launch. This is a continuation. They're called
A
solo dungeon, but it really is a solo story. And for those of you that don't know, I'm going to try my best to not spoil it, although I really, really want to.
Please don't, because I don't know much about it. I've only watched the freaking hilarious, like, okay, so WildStar Core did their own version of a content drop for the solo dungeon that they just like took from PTR or something. Like, I don't know where they got this footage from, but it's hilarious. We're totally gonna post it in the show notes. You should watch it because it is funny.
At your own risk, there are spoilers.
Yes, but, yes, there are spoilers.
What I can say without having someone email me or tweet me going, you're mean, I want to hear it, blah blah blah, you're gonna be doing a parallel dungeon to Datascape.
Yeah.
What you're basically going to do is, while Datascape is happening in the terms of the story, you are going to be doing a Wetworks operation with a faction leader. And you're going to go in and you're going to work with the caretaker to take down Avitus. So it's you're going to be the badass you want to be. And what they're saying is you might be able to interact with the Datascape raid if there's a raid happening. On the PTR video that they put up, there is a placeholder raid. It's your generic, oh, hey, Datascape, how's it going? And then Datascape talks to you. What? That doesn't make any sense. You're saying that you're supposed to interact with Datascape and vice versa. They haven't said how it's going to happen yet, but they're kind of like saying, hey, while there's a raid going on, like say so-and-so Datascape's going on and you're doing the Omni raid at the same time, you'll be able to talk to each other and you'll actually be able to see their progress. But either way, you're going to have this story of you going fucking John Rambo on this.
John Rambo?
His name is John, right?
Who?
I have no idea. Rambo? I didn't even know he had a first name. I thought it was just Rambo.
Just like Krug and Cher?
Yeah, just like Krug and Cher. Krug, Cher, and Rambo.
That is a lot.
We're the new... The new Holy Trinity, Krugshare and Rambo.
So, yeah, we're going to put images up for it. You're going to put up videos of it, and they're going to be spoilery. So if you're like, my spoilers, to you, I say first. And two, they're going to be on there. So watch it, you're on the risk.
Just don't click them if you don't want to click them. You don't have to be aggressive about it. Just don't click them.
Yeah. Before we get to the next piece, I just want to say, because spoilers bug me, I don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I really wish people weren't so uptight about spoilers. But whatever.
Do you not get it? I want this to be a unique experience, and I don't want that unique experience spoiled, hence the term spoiler, by somebody explaining to me what I'm going to be going through before I go through it.
I guess it's my personality. I will say
your super boring personality.
No. I like to delve into things. So I like data mining stuff. I like going into data mining stuff, and I like going into all these things. And it doesn't spoil my experience when I go do it personally. Dumbledore died. Ha! That was 10 years ago. Suck it up.
When
I read it as it happened, I was like, okay, this is even more awesome than being told what happened. This is so cool. The circumstances surrounding it were never explained to me.
Okay, so I'm a person I'm a person that also doesn't mind spoilers, but I appreciate people that ask me before they spoil things, because there are certain situations where I'm like, no, you know what, I would actually really like to know the cliffhanger to that, or there's some times where I'm just like, yeah, just go ahead and tell me, you know, Krug and I did this with Breaking Bad, he's like, oh, I want to tell you so bad, and I was like, yeah, go for it, you know.
Indigo let me tell him the end of Breaking Bad before he saw it. I was just like, but I wanted to talk about it so badly that I just had to.
And I appreciated it. I'd be
like, tell me. And then when I see it, I'm like, oh my God, that's so freaking cool.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. Same thing with me. I enjoyed it very much in both situations. I enjoyed watching Krug sit there and go, oh my God. And then this happened. And then that happened. And I was like, okay, this is going to be awesome. You know, but mind you, if he would have sat there and said, oh my God, it would have been awesome. And then I watched it and it wasn't as awesome as he described it, then I would have been really disappointed in this situation. Then I would have just wished him not to tell me. So, I mean, I definitely get it.
Okay, so community, guys, other Strange Tale travelers, let us know what you think about spoilers. We're not going to change our non-spoiler stuff here.
Hey, I want your opinion. I'm not going to care, but I want your opinion.
Why would you ask for opinions and then just say, by the way, your opinions could go fuck off. I'm
going to
do what I want.
Well, there are a lot of people that listen to us that don't want to be spoiled, so I'm giving them what they want, even though I don't care. Basically, with the internet, can we please get a statute of limitations on how long you can wait until goddamn spoilers happen? Eris is dead.
I don't know what that means.
Just stuff like that. People are like, oh my God, spoilers!
Here's a spoiler. Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. Boom. Sorry. I had to do it. It's been on my chest.
It was Kaiser Soze the whole time. Southern Green is people. God.
I love that movie.
Spoilers. Oh my God. That was years and years ago. I can get Omniscape. Omnicore. I can totally get that. But can we say like 2 years? So like Breaking Bad next year, it's been 2 years. And someone says, what's the ending? And they say this, and you go, oh my God, spoilers. No, fuck you. You had 2 years ago watch Breaking Bad. You can get spoiled now. And that's my opinion. If you disagree with me, tell me. Anyway, that's what he just said is
send me hate mail at Colomosh.
Oh no, yeah, Twitter. Send it to me. I'm ready for it. Spoil everything for me. I will still enjoy it afterwards.
Oh, please troll the ass out of him. Find everything you love, spoil it for him. Send it to him in a DM so it doesn't spoil it for me because I'm on your team. But totally please take him up on that. Oh,
no,
my
even better.
Goodness.
Tell me right there on my Twitter feed so that way Krug has to avoid it like the plague.
You think I go on your Twitter feed? You're full of yourself, dude. I don't touch your Twitter
feed. Anyway, moving on. Hey, technologists, they've now leaked the Runic Elemental Flux recipe.
Ooh.
Oh my God, get ready to make friends with everyone and get ready to watch your Elden Signs of Fusion just skyrocket in price. So yeah, you need a massive item from each of the major crafting classes. And we're not going to go over all of it, but you're going to need Smart Cloth from Master Tailors, Vitalium Ingots from Master Armorers, Tech Leather from Outfitters, and Corium Accelerants from Weaponsmiths.
We're not going to go over all of it, except for we just did.
Oh, no, but it's broken down even more. Like,
yeah. It's each component from each.
So, all technologists,
plus.
Let me help you out. What you need to do is join a really, really big guild. So what you guys should do is when you guys are on... What's our guild again? Oh, Pergo. When you're on Pergo...
Our guild is Pergo.
No.
Is that true?
Our
guild is the whole server?
Yes.
It needs to be.
You should join the guild STOS because we have changed names. So we are now STOS on Pergo, and you should all join us so that you have a huge guild that you can pull your resources with. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I can't let that slide. It's basically the three of us in the guild right now.
Yeah, because...
Well, we just transferred.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
Mind you, Nygma also can't really play anymore. So
I mean. Yeah.
if not, we'll make it a circle. It doesn't matter. We people need to be together, especially with these Elden Fluxes coming in, and everyone's going to want to re-roll and add additional slots. So get ready to farm your fusions to your heart's content. I'm not telling you where, because then I won't have places to farm either. But get ready to make a lot of money and get ready to make a lot of friends.
Well, the server transfers don't take long right now. So what you could do is you can go over to Warbringer, which is dead, and just farm the hell out of everything, and then just transfer back over to Pergo at the end of the day and just be like, hey, who wants to sell my mat or who wants to buy my mats? I'm just saying.
STOS does not endorse this kind of shady behavior.
This is a hypothetical what if.
But this is we're reporting. We are not endorsing anything.
It's expensive. This is going to be an expensive item to make. And this could be very good for entrepreneurs. And this could be insane on the market. It's going to be crazy. That's all I'm going to tell you is make friends. Because it's going to be a lot easier to ask favors for these materials and vice versa than to try and buy it on the auction house.
Ask for favors for the materials.
Yeah, so there is that. And we're obviously going to have the link.
Look who the dirty one is now.
That was just so funny. Hey, you guys got any runic elemental fluxes that can make it worth your while?
Anybody else want to kick Krug out of the...
let's take a guild vote. Kick Krug out of STOS?
Aye. Keep him?
Aye.
Well, that's something that everybody knows. It's going to be up there. We'll put everything on our show notes, and if you don't have our show notes because listen to iTunes or Stitcher, strangetalesfromouterspace.podbean.com. Podbean. And moving on
with
that...
Bean with an N.
Yeah, moving on with that, there's a couple cool data mine stuff happening. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and is Enigma. Not important. Keep going.
So, data mining happened this week, and a lot of really cool stuff. First off, if you like more customizable stuff, there's new hoverboard animations and taunts and threats, and they're really fun.
Yeah, we're going to post a video to all the new hoverboard animations. Exiles totally got the good ones. Not fair at all.
They
not
got
fair
the
at
the
all. Oh, I'm so mad.
This feels like the Horde mentality from Blizzard. I'm kidding. They got all of them got really cool animations to differentiate themselves when you're having a hoverboard summons.
Yeah, differentiated by race, by the way.
By race, yeah.
Not class.
With the exception of Cassians and humans, or Cassians and Exile humans, because they're
the same race. Technically the same race.
Yeah. And also a teaser of Jackshade, which is really cool.
Which you freaked out about when you saw it, goodness gracious.
I love Halloween. It's so cool. I never thought about it a lot.
Which, by the way, Jackshade and the Halloween stuff is supposed to be on PTR right now, which is currently downloading in the...
oh no, he's spun out. Where is he now?
As you can tell by his extreme lack of bandwidth. That's hilarious.
And the cool part is they data mined everything from the hoverboard animations, the threat animations. They've uncovered a bunch of costumes which look freaking cool as well, and including two costumes that are faction specific: an ICI costume for Dominion, and I believe a Black Hood's costume, which again looks cooler. Or Exile.
Did we talk about taunt animations?
The taunts are with the threats and the hoverboard summons that we're gonna link up.
I love the Granog taunt animation. He basically just like dry humps the air. It's hilarious.
My favorite has to honestly be the Makari, because they're so stiff. The male Makari he just totally insults just everybody that's a sentient species. It's like, fuck you. Except what he does. It's awesome. He waves his hands around, maybe a giant ape, and then he just looks at you and goes, yeah, right, bring it, bitch.
Nice.
Yeah. So costumes data mine, the taunts data mine, they even data mine with potentially the next drop after Defile, and it looks like Far Side is the next area.
I love Far Side.
Wait, what?
I loved Far Side from, like, the very beginning. One, because you got out of White Veil, which automatically, like, threw it 300 notches up in the air. But it was...
Far Side, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Far Side was just so cool. Like, I felt like old school, like, X-Files / Aliens. And, like, there was a lot of really fun, like, nuances to it that I really enjoyed.
For me, Far Side feels the moment when WildStar finally had its identity leveling process. You had a very... SWTOR-esque leveling experience up until Far Side, and you've already kind of seen the desert zone. You've already kind of seen the valley zone. You've already kind of seen the farmers from other games. All of a sudden, you're not only in space, but you got tons of homages to movies, and the story and the races all kind of come together, and from there on, I think it kicks the world into high gear. So Far Side has like a very special place in WildStar for me. What about you, Krug?
He's like, I don't give a fuck. That place sucks.
I don't give a fuck. That place sucks.
Pretty much. But looks like they're getting a lot of love. They're getting a raid. Don't know if it's 20 or 40, man. Called Red Moon Terror. So Mordecai might be back if you kill them in Skullcano. You're going to get a new ship hand. And this might be the very first veteran ship hands as well. Or it might be the change where all ship hands are getting veteran modes. We're being really spoilery and rumory here
about that. Okay, so here's my question about that. When I go to a ship hand, it asks me normal or veteran?
No, rally.
Rally. Rally brings your level down. Veteran will bring the difficulty of the instance up to a level 50.
Yeah.
As opposed to bringing your level effectively down to a level whatever.
Yeah, it's similar to mentoring in the sense that you can go and take your level 5, your level 13 friend if you're level 40, into the very first ship hand, you rally and everyone's level 13 or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And people have been asking for veteran ship hands, maybe.
Yeah, because they're fun.
Oh, yeah. They're really fun. I love the ship hand. And they're also very WildStar unique-esque. They're out, off the wall, and their storytelling is not like anything else.
Which yeah. I think is the direction they were trying to go with the adventures, but adventures just take a really, really long time sometimes.
That's kind of what I like about them. Like, everyone's like, I don't want to do Malgrave Trail because it takes forever. Everyone just silvers it and then never does it again. I really like that one a lot.
If you go into Malgrave Trail with the notion of we're going to take our time, it's a lot of fun. If you want to get your attunement done, it's a bitch and a half.
That's true.
But going back to Far Side, you get the ship hand, you get the raid, and then you're also getting a new zone, which is going to be, a daily zone.
Yay!
I like that. What I really want, and I know I've seen the suggestion on the forums as well and Reddit, is give more substance to the daily zones. Give more events that happen in daily zones. Give more repeatable dungeons or repeatable areas in daily zones. So it's not just daily.
So now what's your guys' opinion on this? So when I played other MMOs, their dailies would be different. So like they had a pool of 10 dailies and they would give you 8 at a time. So like some days you would get one group of 8 and the other you would have some of the other ones, and then you get that 9th and that 10th one the next day. So that like it wasn't the exact same quests every single day. Like that's one of the problems I have with the dailies in Crimson Badlands and Northern Wastes.
Yeah.
The problem I have with them is that they're the exact same every single day. Like, I'm just like,
Honestly, that monotony for me is broken up by world PvP. I think there should be, like, a world PvP, at least on PvP servers. I just realized this doesn't make sense for non-PvP servers, and that's why I'm not a game designer. But I'm just going to continue with my thought anyways. I think it would be really fun if there were world PvP-based events in the daily zones. So, for example, there's a quest zone that is, well, that's kind of already the case, but like a quest zone that specifically pulls in exiles and Dominion characters at the same time, kind of like on Far Side, that meteor thing.
The meteor, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that, like things like that, where you have both factions in this instance kind of working towards the same goal, but at the same time you have like the conflict between those two groups at the same time. I really love that Far Side instance, and I think adding that to the daily zone, something like that to the daily zones, would be really cool.
Because every time you go in there, you always have that troll that's like me, who's like, I'm gonna gank one of them.
Every time you go in there, there's that troll, because you're that troll. I don't know if you know that or not.
I'm gonna go in there and gank this exile while we're all trying to achieve the same goal, and then a war breaks out, and then I'm really happy.
You know what I really like about this drop before you say or? I'm just going to cut ahead and just keep going.
Do it.
We are getting evolution to the world story of WildStar. In fact, this universe, we're getting a built on. We're getting more stuff built into it. It's no longer just going to be Exile Dominion story. We're going to get the Marauders as our big story jump. Not only that, we're going to find out the head of the Marauders, Leveca the Dark Hearted. You got a quick mention of her in Skullcano, and now you're going to find out what's going on with the Marauders in general, how you fit into that, and how they fit into the story of Nexus.
Was she that Draken kind of girl that was talking to the big forearmed spellslinger alien dude?
So for people that are like Indigo, alien dude, who don't give a crap about story,
that's because he calls Red Moon the big forearmed.
Yeah,
spellslinger dude.
The big forearm dude. It's Mordecai Redmoon. He's a leader of the Marauders, and you kill him at the end of Skullcano.
I would just like to point out in the show notes, his name is literally right there, right underneath the part where we're talking about Leveca, however you pronounce that, the Dark Hearted. It says Red Moon, right there. Boom.
Yeah.
See it?
Yeah. And the raid is called Red Moon Terror. There's only one character in the game with the name Red Moon.
Do you see it, Indigo? It's literally right here.
Maybe. Right? Well, right then again, there. We're going to conjecture. Maybe it's Mordecai Redmoon's daughter? I don't know. It's probably, whatever. Either way, you get a lot of cool story with the Marauders. I want to check that out in PTR when that's up. I'm totally down for that. And yeah, let's do something new or more with dailies. Because I totally agree with Indigo. You know, if they were able to make a rotating cycle of dailies, would make my enjoyment even more. I like dailies, so I'll do the dailies. They're zen-like for me. But it is true, monotony gets boring. But we have tons of that, and Anyway, so that's all the stuff going on with the Strange Tales of the Week, and there's a few little bits and pieces. We already talked about it a lot. People are talking about it on everything else. The Defile Drop is going to be pushed back probably till the beginning of October, but there's no confirmation. Donatelli has said, though, we are focusing on... Or they are. They are focusing on making sure the game is more stable so they can give you Defile Drop. It's a smoother transition and less breaking and a lot more fun. And my guess
knock
is...
Knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. I'm not going to do it here because it'll be a podcast. But I honestly believe that when Defile does drop, it'll be in October with Shade's Eve, which means a ton of content's coming. And it's going to be sweet.
I had to put 2 cents down. I think it would be the month after. Shade's Eve is going to be...
I'm with Krug on this one. I think
Shade's Eve is going to be by itself.
If they were smart, they would leave it by itself.
Yeah, but then that would push back the Farsight stuff to the end of the year, to the beginning of next year, because you still have the Proto Gala in December.
So October is right around the corner. I mean, I'm just saying, it's like they're not dropping anything this month. The next month has to be October. They don't want to skip over Shade's Eve. If they're already got this content and they want to save a little bit of time on their end and really make sure that they're patching and everything is correct, they're going to use September to do that. They're going to push Shade's Eve in October. And then in November, more than likely, they're going to Defile. In December, they're going to do a Christmas one. January, they do a New Year's / bug fix again. But, I mean, I really don't think doing a huge bug fix, Shade's Eve, and Defile all at one time is a really good time. God, frickin'.
Indigo Jordan just had a stroke live on the podcast.
We now need a new co-host.
Yeah, we now need a new co-host. And if you want to donate to the Indigo Jones Needs Hospital Money Fund,
I will be streaming October 25th.
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
Right.
I can totally understand. I'm just hoping that I would love to see that not only everything's fixed, but we're getting a buttload of content. But...
Yeah, but I know that October, all of October, I'm literally just going to do Halloween stuff. I mean, I'm going to do my dailies. I'm hoping that there's going to be Halloween dailies, and I'm going to be trying to do my damnedest to do the Jack Shade stuff. Like,
oh, there's going to be quests. They're going to send you everywhere.
That's all I'm going to do in October. So, like, trying to get me to do Defile and Shade's Eve stuff all in October, this is happening once a month, or once a year. I'm going to push through this as hard as I can through October. Once November happens, then I'll touch Shade's Eve. Or not Shade's Eve. That's when I'll touch Jake. Gosh, why?
You can say that I'll touch Jake? That's disgusting.
Now, for heads up, people, we do record. We do record in the evening. We've all had a long day at work. We are a little tired, but we love doing this for you and for us too.
I'm just upset that I can't buy my Moto 360.
Wow, that was completely out of the blue.
That's why I'm upset.
Anyways, is a little upset. It's been a
anyways, so I'm not going to touch Defile until November, so why waste two separate months of content all in the same time? As Doc would say, why would you blow your whole load?
I want to remind everyone that everything we just said was totally opinion, and all of the release schedule is kind of rumor at the moment, so don't hold our feet to the fire when we're wrong.
Yeah, I could be right, or he could be right, and we could both be wrong. It doesn't matter. But yeah, yep. We're just giving you all the information we know, as always.
Yay.
Yeah, so those are the strange tales of the week, and we did do an add-on for this week.
Well, before we go into that, I want to do what is it, a redaction or retraction?
Retraction.
From last
redaction
week's...
Redaction is... Never mind. Keep going.
Oh, yeah, I want to do one too real quick.
Last week we did T-Loot, and we said the best improvement that they could do is remove the header bar. With further investigation and going into it a little more, you in fact can remove that T-Loot bar on the top and still get the information and the other cool stuff that it, the features that it adds. So
yeah, it's literally just a button on the bar that is a little eye that hides it.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah.
So you click it and then it goes away, but all the information pops up.
That's the first one. The second one is that we had a really long conversation last week about itemization and leveling out items and stuff like that. After listening to the podcast again and really thinking about it, I'm with Krug. I understand it.
Skadoosh.
And I was wrong, and I'm totally on Krug's
side.
Whoa.
Doc, you can't edit that. I need that recording.
You need the audio proof that this actually happened.
I need that recording to show around at work, because no one's going to believe me.
Are you two both agreed on something?
Oh, no, that I was wrong.
He said that he was wrong. He's wrong all the time. I just need proof that he admitted it.
And my retraction is going to be, I was thinking of Pappy last week when I was talking about the bald thing. And I got Pappy and Gaffer mixed up. So, yeah.
Wow. Oh.
Good retraction.
Yeah.
Something that I don't even remember. And I was there when you said it.
Because you don't listen to me.
That's true. I try really hard not to.
Krug, is there someone else on this this chat? You seem to be talking to someone else, and I don't know who it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, every once in a while I hear mumbling, but and it goes on for a while, and then you start talking, and we have a conversation. I don't know. Maybe we should like join and rejoin, and it'll go away. I bet it's like an audio bug. Do you see? So... I just heard it right now.
Anyways,
see, there it is, the little buzz.
what was this week's add-on?
It's called Item Preview Improved, and the reason I say that is because it ended up being really insignificant for me, and I didn't think it would be. So what Item Preview Improved, what it basically does is it takes over your preview slot for gear and armor.
Not your preview slot, your preview screen. Yes.
And the idea was so you can actually see your gear. And for me, I'm like, this is really cool because I want to eventually start making costumes. And when I installed it and I went in the game, I would have figured there'd be a setup that's really easy to do or pops on screen to get rid of it or, you know, have a command. I didn't see anything. And I was like, well, what the fuck? Is it broken? I don't get it. So I figured, well, I'll start playing. And when I want to see gear, I'll do the preview. You control right click like normal. When I control right clicked an item piece, then it popped up. It was a really nice clean screen and had a few options to do what surprised me. You actually could preview dyes on it. So you can see what it looks like once you've dyed all your gear out. You can do a rotate, you can sheath and draw your weapons, and you can even switch costumes to see how it'll look on each of your costumes. That's really cool. The reason I say it's insignificant for me is although I want to do more costuming and make more unique costumes, I didn't utilize it enough to really enjoy it or even use it as often as I thought I was going to. And I had figured, like, I went in with one expectation and it came out with a totally different one. It's not a bad add-on in my opinion, but I found it insignificant.
Well, and there are a lot of features about it that you didn't mention. Like,
I also didn't go that far into it too. Like, once I went into the surface of dyes and everything else, it kind of just went, I'm done with it. I played with it for 3-4 days, and I didn't go that far into it because I just realized that it wasn't for me.
Right. But, like, that you just brought up kind of glanced over something that I think is a really important feature if you're trying to see if an item's going to look good as a costume on you. Because I think that's why people preview items, to see, I'm going to salvage this, but is it a good costume piece? Then I won't salvage it, and I'll put it in my costume. You can dye items that you're previewing, which is something that you can't do in the normal preview screen, and I think that's a really powerful feature. I think it only shows you dyes that are in your collection of dyes. You can't just dye it any color. And there are other add-ons. Yeah. There are other add-ons you can use to dye, to preview dyes of any color, even if you don't have them. And you can also preview fab kits, which you can do at your housing plot already if you just click on the fab kit and in the little purchase screen. But with this, you can do it as you pick up the fab kit, which I'd imagine is important for people who are really into housing, which is awesome. And you can preview items on the auction house, from quest rewards, in the quest log, in chat links, in schematics, in the tech tree, in challenges, and in the greed versus need roll window. You can preview items in all those places, which aren't places you can normally preview items in the default preview item window. So I think it's really powerful, and I don't think it's designed to be something that you think about. I think it's designed so that you install it, and then you use it without thinking about it. Like, instinctively, you should be able to control right-click any item from anywhere and preview it. But why wouldn't you be able to, you know, preview something in the auction house? That doesn't make any sense. What if you're at the auction house looking for costume pieces? So with this, you can make full use of what the item preview thing does, which is let you trick out your character and make him look baller baller shot caller.
You actually said that.
Yeah, baller baller shot caller.
Another reason why I'm not a fan of this add-on.
If you edit out baller baller shot caller, I'm gonna go into the show notes and delete all of them and just replace it with baller baller shot caller. I'm gonna keep all the links there, but they're all gonna just say baller baller shot caller.
We are totally not petty here at this podcast.
Yep.
So Indigo, did you have a chance to play with this add-on or no?
I did a little bit. I mean, I have an agreement with both of you, but I agree with Krug that there was a lot of stuff that should have been implemented with the current setup that we have that this does.
The carbine version of this add-on.
Yeah, and then at the same time, I agree with Doc where it was like, it didn't mean a lot to me because I don't. The only thing that I ever preview is the next tier of PvP gear or the a costume piece. Like, I only get costume pieces one at a time. I can right click on it and do the normal preview. Okay, that's what the hat looks like. For gear, I don't base my gear, like, I don't base what I put on by looks. I base my gear based off of the stats. And if I want to, I'll put a costume on it because I don't like it, which I've been doing recently by running around shirtless.
You look like a redneck.
You look like a character. You look like a juggalo that just escaped Hot Topic.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. That's exactly what you look like.
And I like it. So, anyways. So, because I'm not the person that, like, really needs to preview everything, I know my girlfriend does, like, everything. She previews every single item that she makes as an architect. But she's not going to be looking at three different items because you can still only look at one architect piece. And I don't know. I just didn't see it. It's one of those add-ons that are fixing a problem with the game that should have just been there in the first place. You know what I mean? Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it does.
I don't feel like I should have to have another add-on to do that. Like, the game should just do it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And it doesn't detract from the game by having it.
Exactly.
You know, there are some add-ons where people say, oh, well, the game should just have that. Well, not everyone wants that. Well, if the game has it, this feature, and it just naturally came with this feature, it's not going to hurt anyone, and it's not going to bother anyone. So that's my opinion on it.
Yeah. Yep. So going back to last week, our rating system is not going to be A's, B's, and stars. We're going to liken it to WildStar and MMOs and call this a need, greed, or pass. If it's a need, in our opinion, everyone needs to have this add-on. It needs to be there. You need to use this thing because it's freaking amazing and it'll only benefit your gameplay, nothing else. It's It is essential. Greed is, it's good. It has its flaws for me personally. I'm going to keep it probably. I might not keep it. But if there's something better, I would probably replace it with that. And a pass is simply, you know, it's not for me for whatever reasons or another. I wouldn't recommend it personally, but it doesn't mean it's not bad or good. It's just, you know what, I'm going to pass on this. And all of our reviews on add-ons are personal. Doesn't mean the add-on is bad unless we say there's so many fucking problems with the add-on, it needs to be fixed.
And even then, it could just be user error. And if it's Doc saying that there are many problems with the add-on, it's probably user error. Just keep that in mind.
That's also very true. So, Indigo, what about you? What do you think about item preview improved?
I'm agreed on this one. I think it's a very clear greed for me, just for the fact that I'm going to keep it until WildStar implements that.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, that's easy as I can say. I mean, it does not affect my gameplay whatsoever.
Cool. And Krug, what about you?
So I might be taking a different definition of need than the two of you for this, but I'm going to say need for this.
Okay.
And here's my reasoning. It, like you said, it doesn't, Indigo, I think, it doesn't detract anything from the game. It only improves the game. There's no performance hit. It's attractive in the same way that the rest of the game is attractive, and it adds a lot of features that both of you admitted should be there. So really, there's no reason for people not to install this add-on. Day-to-day, like normal playing, it doesn't get in the way. It doesn't do anything until you specifically ask it to exist, and then it exists. It doesn't even change the way you summon it. The way you call it up. It's the same exact everything. It just does more. And I really don't see any reason why people wouldn't install this add-on. It's great. So I would say a need, hands down.
Okay. Me, I kind of want to say two things on it, because one is my opinion and two is what is probably more practical. And I just didn't have any patience for this add-on because I expected something and I didn't get what I thought from it. But also that's because of my own expectations of it.
So see? See? User error. Yeah. Totally right.
Well, for your error, it was my own expectations were something else for this.
You were the user. You were the user, and you had an error in your expectations.
Hey,
I'm pretty sure that's user
error.
Hold
on. I believe we all were silent during your review.
Okay. I apologize. I'm going to stop making fun of you.
Kinda. So for me personally, I'm actually going to take it off after this podcast. To me, it's a pass. Personally, I'm never going to use it to its full potential. I didn't see a difference in my it didn't impact it in a negative or positive way. It just is there. And to me, that means it's taking up space that could potentially run the game a little better. But in a more middleman, just honest opinion, I think it's probably agreed for the average player. It's not bad to have. There's a lot of really cool features on it. It's worth grabbing, I guess, for most people. If you're like me in that way, where you're like, I'm going to do this and that, and you kind of just realize that you're playing, you don't, it really is taking up space. So don't bother with it. But if you feel like you're going to get a good mileage out of it, go for it.
I just want to make this abundantly clear. I saw no performance impact at all.
Oh, no, it didn't. But what I meant is if I personally keep adding on add-ons and add-ons and add-ons and add-ons, my computer will only eventually handle so much, and that will affect performance of the game. So sure. I figure if I'm not going to ever use the add-on, I might as well pull it off.
So you just specifically want to be choose the guns you put on as a rule.
Exactly. I want to make sure that I'm always in control of what I'm putting on instead of just bloating my game up with all tons of add-ons and half them I'm not going to use. I'd rather make sure that it's ready for anything. Well, no, Krug does use a lot of his add-ons, most of them. So for
yeah, I can't think of an add-on of mine that I don't use Grid very often.
Do you
unless
know why,
I'm specifically Esper Healing.
Do you know why you can't think of an add-on that you don't use? Because you don't realize how many freaking add-ons that you have. And you're like, oh, wait, I think I got an add-on for that. Oh, yeah, I do. I never use it, though.
Yeah, so, that's the thing. That's two different personalities. Krug is going to use most of the add-ons because they're beneficial to him. To me, I like to run a cleaner setup. So I want to make sure I have the essentials. And to me, item preview improved isn't essential for me, so I'd pass on it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So that's this week's add-on, man. If you guys have any suggestions for add-ons, or if you are an add-on maker and you want to get some good feedback or opinions and you want to help pimp it out, give us a call. And that means, you know, we are getting close to the end of this podcast, so if you want to get a hold of us.
Call. I'm not going to give any of you my phone number. I mean, all due respect. Please email us or Twitter us or something like that.
That's
totally.
What I was going to say. If you want to email us? you right. can.
Krug's phone number is 555-555-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-
If you want to email us, you can always email us at strangetalesmailbag@gmail.com. We all have our own Twitter handles, and we all have other ways of getting a hold of us. But if you want to get a hold of us as a big group, the best way to get a hold of us is through the mailbag, is through our Facebook. So use facebook.com/strangetales. And our main Twitter that Krug curates, and he mostly posts from it, which is @strangetales.
Yeah.
We also have... I am IndigoJones_STR for me on Twitter, and then of course the mailbag. But
yeah, and me,
that was an awkward interaction. I don't know what that was.
I don't know, but for me, if you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, it's @HollowMosh. If you want to get a hold of me on Twitch, it's HollowMosh. I'll probably do more console streaming and drawing than I will WildStar, because my computer can't really do a lot of streaming. But you can always get a hold of us there,
guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We forgot to announce something.
I haven't forgot.
Oh, no. It was coming. We just wanted to, like, we're super excited on it because we think this is awesome.
Yeah.
Next week's number 12.
Yeah, number 12.
Oh, and we also have Tony Ray coming on and answering questions.
Oh, yeah, there's that part.
Yeah.
Tony Ray's going to be on the podcast. Yeah,
Tony Ray, community manager for WildStar.
So, yeah. If you guys have questions and you want to ask Tony, I mean, I know Tony's been a very open and answerable guy, but if you have a burning question and you want him to answer it, send it to, gosh, darn it, tonight I'm horrible.
Let me take over for that.
Please do.
Any questions you want to ask Tony, and not just pertain to WildStar, but hey, let's be honest here. Let's be real. Let's be civil and let's be polite. And let's not try to back him into a corner with stuff he can't answer or he's not going to answer. So we are going to sift through any questions you guys have to make sure that we aren't just giving him softballs, but fun stuff and stuff that he can actually answer. It's going to be really boring to do the whole podcast with Tony giving us quips and making fun of us and vice versa. And at the very end, say no comment, no comment, no comment, no comment. So think of some really cool stuff. And you could tell us on the Reddit post when I post this on the Tuesday, which is tomorrow, I think the 10th or 9th, whatever. You can tell us at our 10th. If you tell us at our Twitter, @StrangeTales. You can do our email at strangetalesmailbag@gmail.com. And if you have space for it, let us know your character name, your server, or your guild name. We'll give you a shout out. And let's just have fun with this, because how often do you get a chance outside of WildStar Weekly to get a hold of our community manager? He's a guy that helps make this game and our community whole and awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good time. What he said.
I will just point out, and I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm going to ask him to give me a platinum game.
Hold on. Tony will have to have gotten far enough in the game to get a platinum.
No. He's just going to walk up to Cougar and be like, hey, you know the servers that you have access to? Just go into the back end and change Krug's...
Let's totally screw off gold the economy count for this game here, just for Krug.
No, a plat is not going to screw up the economy. That's why I'm keeping it low. I mean, I can ask for
this,
like,
is the butterfly effect of Nexus. You get one plat for Krug, all of a sudden.
All right. How about this? I'll ask him for a single copper, and if he gives me that single copper, I will never spend all of my money. As a matter of fact, I will immediately put one copper into my bank and never take it out. And I'll never put any other money into my bank. It'll just be one copper.
He will frame that one copper on his house.
I will frame that one copper, and then, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to happen.
So, Tony, I don't know if you're listening to us or not, but we can't wait to have you on next week. And I'm sure everyone listening to this can't wait to get a chance to talk to you and ask you their questions. And even then, you know, I know he does a lot of streaming at Tony Ray Plays on Twitch as well. And he's great to have. And get a hold of us, you know, so we can have a fun podcast next week. And if not, screw you guys. We'll do it ourselves.
Screw you guys.
That was perfect.
Going home.
Speaking of going home, this is it for number 11 of Strange Tales from Outer Space. My name is Doc.
I'm Indigo.
And I am still and forever will be Krug until they make me add my last name.
Have a good time, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
You should have kept that.
No, I know you would have.
Yep, I would have kept going until one of you screamed.